Rediscovering Richmond is made possible by Historic Richmond Foundation, working to promote, protect, and preserve Richmond's architectural history with the goal of economic progress and cultural enrichment. Online at historicrichmond.com.
Commentator Brooks Smith is rediscovering Richmond's historic places and spaces. And today, Brooks, you're going to talk about the James River, which is so much a part of Richmond's history, economy, and culture.
Well, that's right, Wayne. So many of our stories over the past couple of years seem to have revolved around the river, somewhat by accident or maybe more importantly by necessity, because the river really is the backbone for our recreation, our economic development, aesthetics, art, history, culture, frankly, our identity. It is our defining feature in the city. And I thought it might be interesting for listeners out there, as long as you're not driving, that is, to close your eyes and just imagine the view of the river during a few choice moments over our history.
Well, in 1607, Captain Christopher Newport and a few English settlers came up the river and landed at the falls, where the James River ceases to be navigable going upriver, and planted a flag, I guess, and were the first European settlers on this plot of land.
That's exactly right. They were actually in search of the treasures of the elusive South Sea. They thought if they followed the James, they might find the lake that you could venture down the other side and get to the treasures. Of course, what they found instead were the impassable falls, where they planted a wooden cross, May 27, 1607, on the way back, in response to some inquisitive Native Americans. They explained that the cross was a symbol of the union between the Native Americans and the crown, which wasn't quite true. There was this great and ecstatic account from one of the members of Newport's party, George Perry, who asserted that traveling up the James made him think that it was one of the famous-est rivers ever discovered by a Christian.
And that was shortly followed by Captain John Smith's famous voyage around the Chesapeake Bay and its tributaries.
That's right. There's this marker in Chaco Bottom about Nonsuch, and the story goes that when Captain John Smith came back to the area around Richmond in 1609, he secured some land from the Native Americans up on the hill, Church Hill, which was both protected from adverse Native American tribes, but also from the flooding of the river. And he reflected that there was no place so strong, so pleasant, and delightful, for which they called it Nonsuch.
And in 1611, the Jamestown settlers, I think, started to realize they may have made a mistake in selecting that swampy location for the first permanent English settlement. So they established the city of Henricus just outside of Richmond, which is now celebrating its 400th anniversary as an historical park. And then in the 1730s, William Byrd, who I guess is recognized as the founder of Richmond, chose a name for it. Tell us about how that came about.
Well, as V. Dabney reflected, he was the reluctant father of our fair city. This is William Byrd II, a gallant, occasionally frivolous and irreverent, and certainly leisurely man of Westover. There's two great lines that I ascribe to William Byrd II. One, he was once overheard to reflect on why he enjoyed walking along the river path, and it was because the murmur of the falls was loud enough to drown out the notes of a scolding wife. But more importantly, he framed the view that named our fair city, atop Libby Hill, looking down at the bend in the river and the steep slope on the side. He reminisced on the view from a royal village west of London called Richmond upon Thames. And with that in mind, he decided to name our future city Richmond, this famous panoramic view. In England, it's the only view, first and only view, protected by an act of Parliament. And it was so important that in 2007, when Queen Elizabeth II visited Richmond, our Virginia General Assembly enacted a resolution commemorating the view that named our city.
Another among many historical events associated with the James River in 1865, right after the evacuation of Richmond, President Abraham Lincoln came upriver by boat to visit the conquered capital of the Confederacy. That was a very historic moment as well.
That's right. He sailed up the James aboard the River Queen with his son Tad, and he rode through the smoldering ashes of Richmond, surrounded by these emancipated slaves who were ebullient in their cries of glory, hallelujah. Richmond has a proud tradition of capturing its history through art. We have this amazing creative community and expression over time with poets, writers, painters, all contributing their perspectives on our wonderful place. As the mayor has reflected in the Richmond Identity Project of 2011, has underscored, the creative zeal of Richmond is fueled by this 2-billion-gallon tank of natural energy coursing through the James. And just a shout-out to an event that might appeal to listeners. Historic Richmond Foundation has an event coming up on October 6th at Libby Hill Park to celebrate and inspire awareness about this view that named our city and the transcendent history of the river over time. There will be at least 50 local artists contributing their unique interpretations of the view. So if you're interested, I think you can find more on the web, and I hope everybody will celebrate this wonderful, mighty James, America's founding river that we claim.
The view of the James. Thanks to Brooke Smith, Rediscovering Richmond.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Some writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin, and there's no telling who that it's naming. For the loser now will be later to win, for the times, they are a-changing. From senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't lock up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. The battle outside raging will soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are a-changin'.